Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Our mission here is, well, it's always the same. We took the source material you share with us, the documents, the data, all of it, and we deliver the insights you need, fast and deep.
And today's deep dive is a fantastic exercise in what you might call a forensic analysis.
It really is.
The source material you sent over, it's just a website's navigation structure and a, you know, a pretty short blog post.
Okay.
But it gives us this incredibly detailed map.
Yeah, we're not looking at some massive corporation here. This is a hyper-specialized organization. It's focused entirely on that interconnected world of land management, hunting, and critically insurance liability.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal for this deep dive is to unpack the entire commercial structure based only on these public-facing choices. Who are the customers? What services are linking them? And I think this is the most interesting part. How does this very specific type of commerce try to weave itself into, you know, broader public sentiment?
Right. And the initial hook here is just how transparent the company is about its core business right from the jump, the navigation menu. It isn't just a list of pages. It tells a really detailed story about this whole ecosystem of users and liability.
You can almost feel the tension, can't you?
Mm.
Between land access, recreation, and risk management. That's all right there in the page titles.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's unpack this business model. It immediately shows us two highly specific target customer groups. They're segmented right at the top of the site structure. We have hunters and we have landowners.
And the specific insurance products offered to each of those groups. Well, that tells us exactly where the most complex liability is born.
So let's start with the hunter segment.
Okay. So the company isn't just offering some sort of general recreational insurance. They're explicitly targeting two different tiers of customer. First, there's the group liability for organized recreation. That's the hunting lease club insurance.
Right, which covers the, you know, the collective risk of a whole group of people accessing a piece of property that they've leased. But the second product is where it gets more specific. It shifts from a hobby to a profession. That's the guides and outfitters insurance.
And that's a fundamentally different risk profile. The club insurance is more about amateur liability, you know, if someone falls out of a deer stand or gets hurt on the property somehow.
Oh, that kind of thing.
Exactly. But the guides and outfitters insurance moves into the world of professional commercial liability. It's not just about protecting the property. It's about protecting against errors, omissions, or negligence related to the professional advice or guidance that the outfitter is providing.
So you're dealing with a professional service provider.
Yeah.
Someone who's making a living from these, you know, high-risk activities.
It suggests they might even need professional indemnity coverage, which elevates the risk profile way beyond what a recreational club would ever need.
That distinction alone shows a really deep understanding of their market. They know their customers are both organized amateurs and these high-liability professionals.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at the other side of the coin, the landowner segment. They also need protection, but their risk model is a bit broader. It relates more to just owning the property itself.
Right. Landowners are offered vacant land insurance, and that speaks to the general liability that exists even when the land is just sitting there, unused. It's foundational risk management, regardless of whether anyone is hunting on it or not.
And this is where we need to zoom in. This is the critical overlap. The landowners are also offered hunting lease club insurance.
And that is the nexus.
And it's the whole thing.
It's the strategic core of the entire business. The fact that this hunting lease insurance appears so prominently under both the hunter and the landowner sections, it tells you that leasing land for hunting is the primary activity this company exists to facilitate and protect.
It's the transaction. It's the thing that requires legal protection on both sides of the deal.
Mm-hmm. Without that transaction, the business model just, well, it shrinks significantly.
And we should linger here for a second on the structural repetition. If you look closely at the source material down in the lower navigation, those three core products, hunting lease, vacant land, and guide and outfitter, they're listed again.
Yeah, as standalone links.
Right.
That repetition is, it's essentially the company prioritizing its services. They're making sure that no matter where you go on the site, you're reminded of the foundational nature of these specific kinds of risk. It defines the relationship they manage between the recreationist, the professional, and the property owner.
So if liability defines the transaction, then the resources they offer, they define the community you need to sustain that transaction.
That's a great way to put it.
The business isn't just selling a policy. It's selling the legally protected ability for these groups to, you know, engage in this shared activity on a specific piece of land. They're acting as market infrastructure.
Absolutely. The first part of our analysis clearly shows they're a liability manager, but this next part, it shows they're also an ecosystem builder. If they only offered insurance, they'd be reactive. By providing resources, they're being proactive. They're fostering the very community they serve.
Okay, so let's transition into that resources section. This is where we see that the business is providing more than just, you know, financial protection.
Mm.
Beyond the standard stuff like a blog and a shop, we immediately see highly targeted informational support. And it's broken down yet again by their core customers, Hunter Resources and Landowner Resources.
So they're catering their content very specifically. A landowner, for instance, needs to know about property tax benefits, maybe boundary law, lease agreements. A hunter needs to know about game regulations, safety, maybe scouting tips. A one-size-fits-all approach just wouldn't work here?
No. But the real insight comes from the specific non-insurance tools they offer. Let's focus on the tool named Leases Spotter.
Lease Spotter is key. It implies a direct service, one that's designed to connect landowners who have property available with hunters who are actively looking to lease it. This isn't just incidental support.
It's vertically integrating market creation.
Exactly. By facilitating that initial transaction, the match between the buyer and seller of land access, the company achieves a few critical goals.
They capture market data, for one.
Right. They ensure insurance compliance right from the start, and they create a captive distribution channel for their core product, which is the hunting lease insurance itself.
They're generating the exact pipeline of business they want to insure.
It solidifies their role. They're not just waiting for customers to find them. They are creating the environment where customers transact. That guarantees their relevance. It's smart. It's very sophisticated market cultivation in a super tight niche.
And right alongside that very commercial tool, they also include How We Give,
mm-hmm.
which suggests a defined charitable or, you know, community outreach component is integrated directly into their public identity.
And for this specific audience, we're talking landowners, serious hunters. The concept of stewardship is a huge cultural component. It's essential. By showing that they give back, the company validates the activities they insure. They position themselves not just as a financial entity, but as a responsible partner in the long-term health of land management and conservation.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture,
mm-hmm.
the whole resources section suggests this entity is functioning as an ecosystem builder.
A crucial one.
Yeah. They're fostering a community around land management, providing the logistical tools, the community validation, and of course the liability coverage to make these complex activities, well, sustainable and safe.
They are essentially investing in the ongoing viability of the market they insure. You can't insure hunting leases if there's no active leasing market. So providing these tools ensures a continuous flow of high-margin business. It's highly targeted, intelligent engagement.
Okay, so we've established the structure, the deep services. Now we can move to the final piece of the puzzle, how this specialized commerce connects itself with broader American public sentiment. Which brings us to that brief blog post you provided. This is where the message meets the metadata.
Right. The blog post is titled Happy Veterans Day, and the language is very unambiguous. It expresses thanks to those who have served and are currently serving, acknowledges their bravery, their sacrifice.
And it even notes the specific author, O'Connor Hermesh.
Mm-hmm.
And the message immediately links that military service back to the environment where this company operates. It says that their service protects freedoms, enabling safe enjoyment at home and around the world. In the context of a company focused on land access and the protected freedom to hunt, that connection is highly intentional.
It is. It integrates a deep cultural value gratitude for military service with the concept of protected outdoor recreation. It positions their niche market, you know, ensuring a hunting lease within the larger narrative of American freedom and access to the outdoors. It validates the activity by aligning it with civic responsibility.
This all sounds pretty straightforward, right? But this is where we perform our critical forensic deep dive, looking past the content to the contextual detail, to the metadata.
This is the crucial moment in the analysis.
Yeah.
So we have to look at the date of publication versus the content of the post. The title is unequivocally Happy Veterans Day, which is a national holiday. It's on November 11th in the U.S.
Right. But the date, the associated date metadata provided in the source material, is May 24th, 2023.
May.
So you have this juxtaposition of a November holiday message being published in late May is a significant factual discrepancy.
And it raises an important question for us to think about. I mean, what does this all mean? We're not here to speculate on their internal operations, but we do have to acknowledge the non-alignment.
Of course.
Does it suggest a scheduling error? Was it some kind of system glitch that posted old, prepared content? Or does it reflect a deliberate, if non-chronological, decision to express gratitude towards veterans at a different time, maybe tied to Memorial Day or something else?
And the key takeaway here isn't why the date is wrong, but simply that the date is wrong. It underscores a central lesson in source analysis. Mm-hmm. You have to analyze the delivery, the metadata, the timing, the structure, right alongside the intended message.
Yeah. The company is clearly trying to connect its commercial activity to a pillar of public identity. But the contextual data gives us this crucial point of operational misalignment.
The content strategy is clear. Link land access to freedom.
But the execution, based on a May publication for a November message, forces us to recognize that even the most straightforward communication is subject to, well, all the operational and technical factors that are humming along just beneath the surface.
So, what have we revealed in this deep dive? We found a highly specialized commercial entity, one that organizes its business meticulously around managing land use liability. It creates a transactional nexus between hunters and landowners through lease insurance.
And they are not passive insurers. They are strategically supporting and building their community with tools like LeaseSpotter, which is clearly designed to capture market share from the ground up.
And finally, they integrate a message of public gratitude, that Veterans Day post, to align their specialized niche market with these foundational cultural values of freedom and land access.
They are actively positioning their insurance product as a protective mechanism for the right to enjoy the land.
Which leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to carry forward based on this clear focus on land, freedom, and service. Consider this. In highly specific commercial markets like this one, how much of the product's value is derived from the service itself, the actual insurance policy, and how much is derived from the cultural validation, that explicit alignment with broader values of protected freedom and stewardship?
Is the core function of the policy protection against liability, or is it fundamentally perceived by the customers as protecting the very right to access the land? That distinction, I think, is key to understanding this market's identity. We've been your expert guides on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.